glorious cool.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What are we going to do? We can't not vote. Nobody does that.
Why don't we all pick the most ridiculous candidate and write him in?
You mean Dennis Kucinich?
The Don and Mike Show.
Balls on fire. The Don and Mike Show.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about politicians, Homer?
Is everyone here as sick of those stupid politicians as I am?
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi.
Me, nerd, stands for not even remotely dorky. So thank you. Thank you for the compliment.
That's right. Okay, well, you're very, very welcome.
That's ridiculous.
I can't believe it. These guys are fags. These kids are fags. I can't believe it. Down, down. God damn it, they're fags.
What is he, a faggot?
Hey.
Woohoo! Party, people!
Anyway, howdy. Don and Mike Show. We are phoneless today. Haven't worked out for you by tomorrow's episode. Doing our best to work on that. Okay, vacation. Here we go. I don't have any general tales of woe.
Whoa!
I hate to disappoint.
Whoa!
But I had a wonderful, really wonderful, first time in at least 3 years. Great, great break. Spent a wonderful Christmas Eve with Rob and his family. Won't bore you with how wonderful that was, but but very nice. Christmas morning, my son, sir, sleeps a lot. Totally rocked my world by being awake at 6 a.m.
Wow.
And that was awake, not from pulling an all-nighter. Actually was awake with Janet when I got up and came downstairs. We had such a nice Christmas together. We had such a wonderful holiday, and then I got sick, and Janet had the cold or whatever it is that Buzz has,
right.
and my son had the version that's the intestinal flu.
God, everybody was sick.
Yes. And then Janet said to me at one point, I said, boy, my glands are killing me. I feel like, especially on the right side.
And you were grabbing your crotch when you said that, right?
Well, those are the only glands that I know of, Mike. And then someone said, you've got them in your neck as well.
Oh, I had no idea.
Ouch.
So the one gland on the right side of my neck was just killing me, and I thought it was a cold coming on. I went to a ear, nose, and throat guy.
Okay.
And always nice when you go to see a pro, because he looks at it for about 5 minutes and then just pulls out a pin and says, okay, this is going to hurt just for like 2 seconds. And what he did was just drained out the pus.
Where'd he go in?
Right there.
Side of your neck.
Right, like he went right into your neck?
It looked like, you know, what do you call it with those maps? Are they topographical maps?
Yes, exactly. Right. Relief maps.
It looked like I had the state of Wyoming.
Oh, you had like a real bulge there.
Yeah. So he just, wow. And it wasn't scientific.
You've always had that, nice though, bulge. Haven't you?
It wasn't scientific what this guy did. It looked to me like he said, just turn your head. He just pulled out like a random needle out of his sewing kit.
Did it come outside, the pus?
It was all in the gauze.
Oh.
And then it looked like someone from Transformers had blown their nose in this thing. I mean, it was a colors that you wouldn't believe.
I have to say, is that going to be his new style this year where he bellows the line out and then heads out? He's done that twice now. It's like he gives the line as he's doing. Is that different or is it me?
Yeah, no, that's new. Twice.
That's
today.
A new thing that he's doing now.
You know what it is? He's doing
I'll do my impression of Rob, all right? You say it came into the gauze, and I'll do my impression of Rob.
Right? Okay. It came into the gauze.
Pat gauze.
And then out the door.
So something walks out the door.
An exit line.
Because he's still dealing with the engineers back there.
Ah.
See, the engineers.
You know what?
Are you back there still glad-handing the engineers?
No.
What are you doing back there?
I'm looking for a tape.
But you just, know I what? Said this is a new style.
It's not a style.
He's like, he's doing, Rob's giving us exit lines now. That's what he's doing. That's his new show.
Although we could all try it. It seems to work.
It's disconcerting.
I like it.
Stop it.
Anyway, I get the gland drained. Everything is cool.
Sure.
And there's a lot of pressure because not only with the gland, I don't mean like that, but I mean I'm taking my girlfriend up to New York for a one-day up-and-back attack where we're going to see Mary Poppins on Broadway.
You're a trooper. I told you you'd be a trooper to go see that show.
She's dying to see that show. And we're going to follow that up with a trip to Pennsylvania to meet the parents.
Yay.
This is the first time for you meeting the whole extended family?
All of them together, the entire group, where they're going to size you up. And this is what I've been thinking. Size you up like a piece of meat being thrown into the lions. Then, of course, nothing could be further from the truth. But this is the way that I had it built up in my mind.
Sure.
So it's Saturday morning, the Saturday after Christmas. My gland is fine, and we're
on. It just sounds funny when you say that. My gland is fine.
Well, there had been some consternation. I was thinking, like, you know.
Me and my gland.
I'm going to be the worst guy of all time if I've got these major things planned. And, Mike, you know this strategy. I put off and put off and put off. And it's like, I think we got that nice long 3-week break around the holidays. The problem is I jammed everything into like 5 days.
Where you're suddenly realizing that you're not really vacationing. You're taking care of things that you've said you would do for other people.
I mean, we are running around. We are
can relate to that.
Back and forth. So we're on the train to New York, and it's 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. And who's on the train but our friend JB, James Brown. Wow.
Hey, hot pants. Black cherry.
So he comes by, and we sit down, and goddamn if he is not a great man and a good
stand-up guy. What you see is what you get, right?
He played us, each of us, because it was a crowded train. He couldn't play on the speaker on his cell phone. He played for me, and he played for Janet the message that Terry Bradshaw had just left him on Christmas morning. And I would be divulging stuff that he wouldn't want you to know, because it was very much from one friend to another, but it was entirely stream of consciousness.
Funny.
Oh, my God, like 3 minutes of stand-up. The thing starts with, hello, JB, Merry Christmas. This is Terry Bradshaw. So right away.
That's great. You know,
like he has to say it's Terry Bradshaw.
Like you wouldn't recognize the voice.
It's very obvious it's Terry Bradshaw. So we listen to this, and we're laughing, and we're chatting, and he says, what are you guys doing today? And I say, we're going to New York. We're going to see Mary Poppins. And he said, oh, you know what? That is too bad, because he said, well, maybe you could work it away, work it in your schedule anyway. He said, right around the time that the Mary Poppins show is happening, we are having our rehearsal for the NFL today.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are all going to sit around in the studio and watch the Patriots Giants game tonight.
Wow.
He says, would you, and he means Janet as well.
Right.
Would you guys like to join me?
Oh, my God.
Now, at that point, she looks at me and she says, and she means it 100%. She says, seriously, if you want to, go ahead.
Right.
And I was thinking, seriously, I'm the deadest guy in the world.
Yeah. It is a no-win situation. True.
If I say no, right, and we end up doing this, mm-hmm, and then, God forbid, I get sick and can't go to her parents' house or something, forget it. So I was killing me.
Ooh, the pain.
Just killing me. Because it wasn't hanging around the studio with those guys so much. It was the thought that they're going to be watching the Patriots game.
So you're going to be hearing like guys like Dan Marino and commenting on the game.
This was the other thing that, again, because I had booked this so far before Christmas, no thought that on that Saturday night would the Patriots be going for 16-0. And normally, you know, I'm a rabid football fan, but I can live without seeing an occasional game. But
not necessarily a history-making game, though.
But, yes, when it became history is when I really – that's where I'm tempted.
My man Eli the Spaz almost took it away from him.
I mean, on the train, I'm tempted. I feel like an Animal House with the good me and the bad me.
Right.
The good me is saying,
go to the studio.
You've promised her for months. And the bad me is saying, you know, screw her, you can go anytime. Go to the studio. Watch the game. So we go to Mary Poppins.
Great show, huh?
Only fell asleep once, Mike.
God, I took my kids. Painful.
Oh, it's, you know, for what it is.
Right.
All I know is that Janet went crazy for it.
Yeah, well, you were doing something for somebody
that's
else.
That's why you went.
She loves Mary Poppins. She loves with a big, gigantic umbrella came down on stage.
Sure.
She flies off into the rafters.
Yeah.
It was just very nice, and by that time I was over the thought that I could have been rubbing elbows with these football guys, and we rushed back to the train. Because the train was scheduled to leave at 6, get us back home at 9.
Oh, you went to a matinee?
Yeah.
Okay.
2 o'clock right. Show on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Matinee.
I was running like a madman to get to the train station in New York, not because we might miss the train or because it was extremely crowded. It suddenly dawned on me when we walked out of the door of Mary Poppins. I said, I'm not going to be able to see this game tonight.
Right.
Oh, my God. And as if somehow getting to the train station faster would make everything faster.
Games kick off like 8:15, right?
Yeah, right. So We were on the train.
It's 6 o'clock, so you're on the fast one.
Yeah, except the fast one didn't go so fast.
Yeah, no. Well, we all experienced that many, many times.
Got around New Jersey and just had that thing where the thing is just sitting. The train just stops for no reason.
Right.
And we had just had really a wonderful day. I mean, Janet had, I think, the best time she's had since we've been going out together.
Good, good.
And I almost ruined it because I was just tired enough that I was sitting on the train. I'm looking at my cell phone, and some guy behind me says, "You got a score?" And I said, "Sure." Look at that. I see Giants 7-0. And as soon as I said Giants 7-0, every man on the train went, "Oh, my God! Oh, my God!" So now, for the next hour and a half,
it was the game. Yeah, I mean, this is a game even for casual fans of the NFL. This is a big deal.
For the next hour and a half, I am waiting for my phone to refresh so I can say, okay, 7-7. Then it's like, 14-7, Giants!
You would think that on the trains,
yeah.
You know, here's a note to Amtrak. Mm-hmm. You know, get the technology up and running so you can pop a little satellite
done.
TV. Super easily done.
No problem.
Anyway, it was like being in the old days. And for whatever reason, I mean, I think most people with a cell phone can go to a website. For
yeah,
whatever
you can do
reason,
that now. NFL Mobile.
I was the designated guy. Everybody else couldn't get it to upload on their phones because NFL.com was jammed up, so I just had to hit refresh. So I was the designated score guy.
Were you getting highlights, too, on your phone, on your magic phone? Were you getting
old-fashioned, where I would have to read them.
Oh, okay.
And what I would do was, I know this was annoying Janet, but she was really a wonderful trooper. She was sitting there with her bag of Mary Poppins stuff, and she's got her bag like Mary Poppins has, and she's got the umbrella with a parrot head on it, and I'm turning around from her every 2 or 3 seconds going, "Yeah, we had a wonderful time." Oh, hold on just a second. Turn and go. Okay. Brady, hand off. Hand off to Maroney. Oh, 2-yard gain. 3rd and 2. So I was
giving all the guys. Are there any cocktails being had at this point?
Well, Mike, I had to drive.
Okay.
There were guys that were imbibing.
Bearing it up. It's a Saturday night.
Yeah. I was not because when we stopped, when the train got to Union Station, I was a man on a mission.
Sure.
And I could have, if I had just driven a little crazier, I could have undone every good thing that I had done prior to this point over the holidays.
Were you able to make it home before the end of the game?
We made it home with 3 minutes left in the third quarter.
It's just about the time New England was coming back.
We walked in the front door,
yeah.
And I mean, I didn't say anything. It was door open, coat on the ground. I go to the TV.
Straight to the TV.
I turn it on. I go, "Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. It's only 28-23. Thank God."
Were you saying thank God because you could see the end of it?
Yes.
And it was still relatively competitive?
Yes, because, see, if
was that 28-23?
You know, I don't know where it was,
Mike. Patriots at that point?
It might have been different. The Giants might have just gone ahead. All
okay.
I know is that when I was looking at this thing on my cell phone, if it had been like Patriots 21, Giants nothing, I would have thought nothing about it.
Would have been cool. You could have relaxed, turned the phone off, no problem.
I guess the deal is because we were in a trapped environment and there was no way to see it, right. It's that thing like, you know, it becomes more enticing because you know you can't have it.
Right. And win or lose, you're going to witness history. You know, either you're going to see the one team that upset them or you're going to see the Patriots do it.
So I drove like an absolute madman on maybe 5 miles over the speed limit. maybe took a couple.
You don't want to go faster than that.
Maybe took a couple of hills, maybe a little too fast, where Janet said her stomach was getting queasy because
right.
There were so many fast turns.
Sure.
The boy made it home, and then the pressure is on. So we saw the Patriots game. Then I had the pressure of meeting her family. And I have talked about this ad nauseum. For some reason, I had this buildup in my mind because I hadn't done this since Frieda.
You thought you were going to be under more scrutiny than you were.
Over 25 years ago, and I had met parts of her family, but I felt like this is when I'm going to be brought up, and they're going to surround me in a circle, and they're going to, you know, give me, size me up. And
right.
Turns out they could
what
not,
are your intentions?
They could not have been nicer, more wonderful people. Like I said, they really all loosened up. around New Year's Eve, and it wasn't booze. It was me finally realizing, oh, okay, you know what? I'm not like a piece of meat being thrown.
You're just hanging out with the rest of the family.
But I was just incredibly nervous, and I found that Janet's parents are just like Frida's parents, are just like anybody's parents. Really, I can't use my own as an example, but like her dad is 80. God bless him. We got him a TV for Christmas.
Right.
Got him a nice, like, 27-inch little swivel job. Mm-hmm. So we go over to his house. He says, first thing he says, TV doesn't work.
Sure.
That's his opening.
Typical.
80-year-old guy.
Sure.
I go, what's the problem? He says, the sound goes all the way to 50, but I can't hear it. I said, all right, well, let me take a look at it. Now, this is, I mean, as I'm walking in the front door.
But that, I would imagine, relaxed you a little bit because you suddenly have something to do.
It did. And her dad is such a character that he wanted to send the TV back to Sharp because he was positive that it was broken.
Yeah. Right.
And he said, I've read the book. And he had read the book. And he had one of those old man magnifying glasses. But it's as big like as a computer monitor. And it's got a handle on the end of it.
Oh, okay.
It's like, have you seen the movie Richie Rich?
No, I know exactly what you're talking. I saw those growing up with elderly people in my family.
It's a
giant thing that you hit. It kind of angles off to the side. Yeah. Right?
Right, and I did what they do in the movies. I held it up to my face and went like, ah.
So you put it over the words.
Yeah, and you can see. And then, I'm looking at this thing with him, and he's like reading, and God damn, it's tiny print. Finally, I said, "So Jim, the problem is sound." He said, "Right, we got to send it back." Because it goes up to 50. And I said, let me just take a look at it. And I look and I see that the TV is in an alcove in his entertainment center.
Right.
It's in a little cubby hole. And the problem is, with these newfangled TVs, mm-hmm. the speakers are built into the set on the sides and in the back.
Okay.
So because he has the TV in a cubby hole in his entertainment center,
right.
when he turned it up to 50, the sound sounded like this because it was all muffled. I said, if we just angle this out a little bit, and again, this is a great thing, because he's looking at me like I'm from another planet.
So it was an easy fix.
Yeah, but he's looking at me like I'm from another planet. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I read the book, and I really think we should just send it back to Sharp, because I'm telling you, the volume goes to 50, and I can't hear anything. Pulled it six inches outside of the entertainment area, and all of a sudden, he said, turn it down! Turn it down! It's too loud!
Yeah.
Too loud!
Way too loud.
So it was almost like the speakers were pressed up against the wood.
Yes. So once we got past that and he understood that, I got to program a universal remote for him.
Oh, good.
Good luck with him figuring that out.
Yeah,
because,
I know.
You know, even with the most basic remotes, someone, when they get to be a certain age.
Hey, my age. I'm half that age, and I swear to God, I have trouble with universal remotes.
I said to him, okay, so when you want to go from cable to DVD, push this button. He said, well, I already have a DVD player.
Yeah.
I said, yes, but see, the TV has one built in. Well, I don't need that.
Oh, no.
I mean, he wasn't being confrontational. It's that old man thing.
Yeah, right.
They don't like the technology. I mean, old people don't like technology.
Exactly.
And I shouldn't say all old people don't like technology. Most old people don't want to mess around with
true.
It.
True.
At any time, did he try to put a VHS tape into the DVD player?
No.
It's not that feed out. Come on.
We had once we got the TV going.
Won't fit.
And once we got the remote control going. I got to sit down, and he showed me how he used to sell knives for a living.
Cool. What kind of knives?
What cutlery or what, weaponry? Rob, or
Bowie you know, knives?
Rob guessed what kind they were when I told him.
I have them in my kitchen. Cutco.
Cutco knives?
Yeah, it's short for Cut Company.
I see.
So they're dinnerware.
Now, as it turns out.
All kinds. Butcher knives?
Janet's dad is retired.
Right.
And as Janet was sitting there with his wife, and they were discussing this with Janet and I, she's with the mom, and I'm bonding with her dad.
Right.
He said, at one point, he said, I used to sell a hell of a knife. And I'm sitting there going, okay, God, what's next? And he said, you ever heard of a Cutco knife? I said, no, sir. And I looked at Janet, and she looked at me like, oh, he likes you. He's going to show you about the knives. And I sat there, and he gave me the sales presentation.
For Cutco knives?
He sold these things, I guess, maybe 30 years ago.
Wow.
Still a great product.
And then he said to me, this was like the big litmus test with him. At the very end, he said, I have one question for you. I'm like, lay it on me, Jim. He said, what is the one best thing about buying a Cutco knife? Tell me now. I mean, he was serious about it.
Sure. This is after the pitch?
I'm thinking he's going to say something like, let me ask you something. What are your intentions with my daughter? No.
Right.
He wants to know, what's the message? And I said, well, basically from the way you described it, I will never have to buy another knife again, because if this knife goes bad, I send it back and you send me another one. And he said, that's it. That's it.
Approved.
I swear to God. And it was at that moment.
Was that what he did for his career? That was he was a knife salesman?
One of the many things he did. But mm-hmm. It was so funny because at that moment, he's a little guy. He stood up and he went, that's it. That's it. And he had his hands in the air like this. And I looked at him and I said, what? And he said, he's a good one. Chad, he's a good one.
So you passed the test. Yeah.
That was the test.
That not a bad test, but hey, you could have gotten the wrong answer because they're really sharp.
By the time I get to the other part of the family
right. That's
having the party, I get there and they're all like, hey, did you meet Dad?
The word
I said,
is out.
Yeah, I said, yeah, I did. Her brother right away said, did he pull out the knives?
So this has been done before.
Yeah, it's been done before.
He hasn't scared any away, has he, with the knife trick?
No, so we had just a very nice time, and then fireworks and, back in the car.
Any cops come?
No cops. No, nothing, Mike.
No cops came when you shot off the fireworks?
No.
It's been dry as a tinderbox up in Pennsylvania, too. I don't understand why there weren't a few lawmen.
I disagree with I think we got 8 inches of snow on
New Year's Eve. Oh, you're all set then. All right. You got plenty of water.
Yeah, I think they got 5 inches the next day. So it was just a great, great time.
So it's a winter wonderland up there, too.
Huh? It was nice. It was honestly the most pleasant vacation. I have no complaints.
Wonderful.
La-la.
Well, that's great.
Life is great.
Yeah, I'm happy for you.
I just hope that my son gets it together. Not that he's got to get it together.
Is he back at school?
Yeah, he's back.
He's done soon, right?
He's 3 credits away, Mike.
Very close.
3 credits away.
How long has he been 3 credits away?
Better part of a year. No, 2 semesters.
Two semesters.
You were funny. I called you yesterday, I guess about 9:30, because they were announcing that all the troubles in Sacramento with the snow.
Well, Reno, Carson City.
I'm calling me. He says, have you heard the great news? What's that? He says, 4 people are dead in Sacramento.
Yes.
I promise you they're callers.
He said, right. I promise you they listen to the show.
Oh, they're callers.
Flooding away.
Anyway,
it's horrible.
And I was really excited because it was big news. And you said, can't talk. I'm doing the dance. I'll call you back. And you were gone before I could ask what dance.
Doing the dance.
And the dance is the getting Bart out the door dance.
Mm.
You were keyed up yesterday.
Yeah, well, you
did he linger longer?
Yeah, buddy.
I want to say he had it under control. He got up relatively early, 10 o'clock yesterday morning. His plan was to leave sometime in the early afternoon.
Right.
I kept it under control until around the time the Tampa Bay game started, about 1 o'clock yesterday.
Right. Uh-huh.
He came into my room, the TV room, and he had on the same dirty clothes he had on all day. And he said, so, Pop, what do you say? Should it make us a couple of white Russians while we watch the game? And I said, well, I don't mind having a little Big Lebowski party, but what's the deal with your car and getting your stuff packed up? And he said,
was he scheduled to leave yesterday?
Yeah. He said, I got it under control. And I said,
all right. He says that to you a lot.
I went downstairs. And every piece of clothing he had brought with him was clean, but laying on the floor. And all of his Christmas gifts were all over the place. And so we went through the whole thing yesterday, and more than one person called during this. And I told all of them, we're playing that fabulous game show, Bart, will you please leave?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that doesn't sound like a very loving thing to say.
No, but I mean, he's well into his 20s now, so, it's
And I know the deal that this is just the way that he is. He's holding on to the last little bit before he's got to go back. And
sure.
Once he gets these 3 credits, he's out in the real world.
Right.
And I'm fine with all that. It's just I didn't want to be sitting around having a white Russian with him while there were piles of laundry and boxes and everything else.
Yeah, and if he's got a long drive, probably not the best idea for him to be having a white Russian.
So, well, there was going to be, Mike, I think, at least 15 minutes before he drove.
No, he indicate to you when he wanted a white Russian that he was going to watch the whole game with you?
Oh, his thought was, the reason he said, why don't we have a white Russian, his thought was he was going to watch the Tampa game, then watch the San Diego game.
And then head out.
And then leave.
Well, like, he is kind of nocturnal still, isn't he?
At 7 or 8 o'clock.
Right.
But the thing is, he really...
That's when he's at his sharpest, though.
He had, for the entire time that he'd been staying with us, his whole 3 weeks, I'm telling you, this kid knocked my socks off, my son. I know everybody's proud of their own kids, but he's really grown into a fine young man, and I'm so proud that he's not the boorish oaf that he went through a phase where he was, like all kids are, and... He gets along great with Janet, and he's getting along great with me. I love having him around. I just said to him yesterday, I said, you're taking 3 weeks of goodwill, and you're flushing it down the toilet. And he said, well, Pop, it's like everything's got to be your way. And I mean, we had a real, not a knockdown, but it was like, I said, yes, it's my way. Yes, my way. Get your S together. No white Russians. Get your S together. Clean your car. Go.
And did he respond to that?
Yeah, he said, okay, that's how you feel.
All right, see you later.
And it's like...
See you, sometime watch the game. Okay, be that way.
Are you there? All right,
Dad.
Like Christ.
All right, happy New Year to you, too.
Dad.
You got a nice TV. I wish I could stay and watch it.
Well, he likes hanging out. Is he back home now? And...
Yeah, he was back up. So, anyways, as it turns out...
Right at his home, I mean.
Yeah, as it turns out, he got his ass together within like 30 minutes, and he came upstairs, and we did have a drink together. Ha-ha.
Well, see, that's fine. See, he got it done.
Work was done.
That was it.
One for the road.
Nah, plenty of time, Mike. So we had a drink, and then we toasted to 3 credits, and he went his way, and I went mine.
Oh, good.
And Rob, you're right. Originally, it was Saturday. When he was leaving.
That's a fact.
Oh, that's right. Saturday was. This is Saturday's game.
Right. No, this was Sunday. He was originally going to leave.
Supposed to leave.
He was going to leave. Originally, he was leaving on Saturday.
Right.
And then he pushed it back to Sunday.
Gotcha.
Which is why I got to be.
Sunday was the Tampa game.
My way.
Right.
Yesterday, where I was like, come on.
Oh, so originally, he was supposed to leave on Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
So the white Russian request came 24 hours after he said he was going to leave in the first place.
Correct.
I can understand.
While there was still crap.
I don't think you're unusual being a parent.
No.
When you're, you know, it is kind of about schedules, and somebody says they're going to be somewhere or they're going to leave, you know, that's the way it works.
Well, also, I want to be very, very careful about this and make sure he knows this. I love him. I love him with my entire heart.
Mm-hmm.
But the inn is closed.
The inn, you know, the reservation, there was someone else, you know, it was as though there's an imaginary person that's checking in.
Time to move on.
Mr. Nobody.
And he knows it. He's tired of hearing it. So anyway, just a great vacation for me. Good. Nothing bad at all. Everything with Bart ended up being great.
Good.
Well, congratulations. I'm glad you had a good vacation.
And I don't want to brag, but I do have to tell you, I did get a gift that's just phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
It's called Sat to Go. And what it is it's a briefcase.
You got that?
It's a briefcase.
Oh, that is incredible. I know exactly what it is.
It's a briefcase.
No, they still made it.
It's a briefcase, and you open this thing up, and it's got a satellite dish that's in. It's made into the compartment of the actual
case
that you're carrying the TV in.
Anyway, well, congratulations, Mr. Rockefeller.
Anyway, you get no kidding. You get to watch satellite TV.
Did Janet get you that?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes, she did.
Hey, Carla, you listening to this show?
That's nice.
Oh boy.
And
that's. That I saw. Now, here's the thing. I saw that maybe a year ago and said, that's just about the most incredible thing. Then I didn't hear anything about it again.
I believe it's brand. When I activated it, they told me there's only 200 of them out there.
That's why.
And, Mike, this is going to make you happy.
What?
Do you know who I had to call next? Big Frida. You know why?
Why?
What gift did I have to get back from her? My generator.
Oh,
my generator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, listen, in... A power outage.
Right.
This thing runs on a battery for 2 hours. But after that, if I hook this bad boy up to a generator, the power can be off for days.
How big a screen on it?
A 17-inch screen.
It's like a briefcase.
It's color. It's a color TV. I don't mean to brag because it's such a fantastic
gift. No, it's an amazing thing.
Cool. I mean, I was blown away by this. This was the gift that I got for Christmas. You know, Jenna and Bart said to me, "You're going to go nuts."
You could have watched the game on the train. Could you?
Technically, no. You got to put the dish somewhere where you get a shot at the southern sky.
Oh, you do. Okay.
Just like if you're in your house.
Right. Oh, that is a cool thing. I remember reading about that.
God damn, it's cool. God damn, it's cool.
It's an Uber gift.
God damn, it's cool.
That is a very, very big gift.
I was like Johnny Dickhead when I was out trying to find a place to use this, because you can't use it in wooded areas.
Right.
So I was
in
Reston, Virginia at a public park on Sunday morning, and I had my car pulled in this area where nobody's around, and people are jogging and, you know, the health nuts. Coming by, and they're like, "What's this guy doing out
in watching TV in his car?
What's this dumbass doing out in 15-degree weather with it?" Because I got it.
So you have to have the, but it's not like you have the dish itself, right? It's a antenna, more like, isn't it?
The dish itself is built into the case.
Okay, so you have to point the case at,
as you open the case,
the satellite.
You flip it around. Mm-hmm. The top of the case flips around to become the dish.
Right. But you could use it in, say, a hotel room or something like that.
As long as you have a clean shot at the southernmost sky, right. And it comes with a compass on it, and it also gives you the coordinates for all kinds of cities across America. Where it's like 260 degrees this way, 32 degrees this way.
That is cool.
So anyway, on Sunday morning, there were these people, and it was incredibly cold on Sunday morning here in D.C. It was like 13 degrees,
right.
And I was in a parking lot wearing my parka, kind of funny there, and people were running by and looking at me, and I was saying to them as I was, I'm watching satellite TV. I watch, look, channel 212. It's the NFL Network.
How's the picture?
Fantastic.
Yeah. And do you get to use your same subscription, right?
Yes, I do. So you get all the same channels
fine,
you get at home.
Fine thing. Especially important, like if you do have a power failure or you're on the road.
And I know that Sling Blade is a product that is
Sling Box.
Sling Blade is a movie. Sling Box.
That's right. Yeah, you have no French fried potatoes. Huh?
Similar product, but you got to have your internet up and right. running for that. This thing is just like no fuss, no muss.
Huh.
TV. Wherever.
And really, it's good if like you're going on vacation to a place that might not have TV.
I brought it with me to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to use it?
I did. I didn't have to. But I did.
You did?
I brought it in the backyard. I mean, who wouldn't want to show guys?
Sure. Yeah.
It's fun. Who wants to go in the backyard and watch TV?
Very cool.
All you need now is handcuffs. You should handcuff the briefcase to your wrist. You look very important.
Big trench coat.
And a hat.
Anyway, what a fantastic holiday I had. Thanks for listening about it. Sounds and it was a great time.
Good.
And I saw Dewey Cox. Which
yes.
is not that great.
Yeah.
Saw Charlie Wilson's War, which really can just suck a big one. Mm. And some other, nothing good out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all.
Sadly, nothing good going on.
How are you, friend?
I had a lot going on. I mean, a lot going on. I mean, where do you want me to start? I played Santa Claus. I didn't even tell you that.
No.
I played Santa Claus.
Well, that's good.
That was a good thing that I did. Went to the company Christmas party. Which was
that's smart.
Well, no, I did for others. The first part of my Christmas holiday.
Right.
Had my run in with the law. Had the pot roast farter on the plane, and had good times were had by all.
I will pick it up there when we come back because your vacation is important, as mine is,
mm-hmm.
as Buzz is.
Yes.
But Rob had maybe
the
most important vacation of all.
Yeah. He was the only one that had major surgery on
his
neck.
That's right.
Right.
Very, very important.
I think I called all of you the day after, although I wouldn't be really able to discuss what we talked about.
You and I had a long chat.
Like a long time,
right? We had a very long chat.
And Buzz, I called you.
Yes, we chatted as
well. And I called Joe, and I know I called you. I think I called you that night.
You were so high.
Yeah, wacky.
It was that Rob chalky mouth high, where he's talking like that, and his lips are sticking together.
Well, it's Percocet on its own, fine. Beer on its own, fine. Mix them up.
Your the roof of your mouth sticks to your tongue.
It does. It mm-hmm. sticks to my chin. And then you just talk and talk.
Yeah, he said, oh, fine. And it was kind of like a Dennis Murphy thing. You're right.
Yeah.
He said, I'm taking my pills, got my beer.
Everything was fine.
And I have green peas on my balls.
I'm still not really able to sit up.
I couldn't.
That's what you said to me. Not able to sit up.
I was perfectly horizontal for 4 days.
Wow.
And about Friday is when the peas were done.
Really?
I served them.
Can I? I know you're going to tell us about it. Can I just ask you one question?
Yes, please. I'll entertain.
Have you produced anything since you've had your procedure?
Absolutely.
And and was it multicolored?
Was it nocturnal?
All I can say is I steal this from a comedian I heard on the radio. I wouldn't have been surprised if chili came out.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
But all is well.
That's more. Good. That's more than I needed. That is a lot more than I needed.
It's scary, though, because you have no idea what to expect. There was you thought the end of the movie Carrie was a surprise? Mm-hmm. You have no idea what to expect.
You should have been at his house on Christmas Eve. People are walking around with little plates of food and the nice drinks. Everybody talking about, hi, how you doing? I'm so-and-so. I'm so-and-so. Oh, you're Rob's friend. Oh, what have you heard about Rob's surgery?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, people were discussing your balls as they were eating
it's
the
amazing.
Little cheese balls.
You guys have said for years that, you know, that's something that guys want to call in and just scream about.
Mm-hmm.
People were asking me about it. I couldn't get away from it.
Yeah, well, now you volunteer all the information. Look at the big microphone you have.
So let's do.
And when you discuss it, you'll have a very big microphone in front of you.
Yes.
Watch that movie on the plane on the way back.
That is so true, Dick.
Our favorite movie that we watch?
Which one? What is it?
I will. I say it's wrong. And I'll have a very big microphone, Lane.
The Contender?
Yes.
The Contender.
People the United States can stomach a lot. What they can't stomach is a vice president with a mouth full of...
Some send-off for the old man.
Hell of a send-off.
You got stocks? I want something embarrassing.
You got midgets? You got them having sex with Boy Scouts?
You want to make a plane flight go quickly?
Yeah.
Even if someone is, from the Secretary of State's Department and farting pot roast farters on the plane, you put that movie on, boom. It'll go like that.
The Contender, starring Jeff Bridges.
Fantastic.
And really, I think we've said this before, but it bears repeating. God damn, what a talent that guy is when you think he's the same guy that was the dude in The Big Lebowski.
He manages to be presidential in that movie. And if you ever get a chance to get that DVD, it's The Contender. I think really one of the best movies ever made.
Otto,
well, let's not let the wheels fall off the wagon.
We'll have the penne.
Who doesn't
spicy.
Want, who doesn't want a shortcut to greatness?
And hazelnut pudding.
Yes, can I say it's some Kung Pao chicken, but can you make that with walnuts instead?
Absolutely, sir.
Yes, sir. Spicy or mild?
Everybody orders penne in that movie. That Everybody bothers me.
Or the porterhouse.
That's
what
right.
What about when he smells his shoe?
Oh,
when he's down at the presidential bowling
alley?
Yeah,
down doing the bowling.
And the Russians think I'm in some super secret lab.
You know what this is? That's a shark steak sandwich. just the movie has a lot of food in it.
You know, he says that to Christian Slater. You know, someday you'll be able to tell your relatives.
You'll be able to come in here and take a look at my painting.
Look at my painting on the wall, and you'll be able to tell your family that you
defied.
You defied your president.
were you watching it with headphones?
Yeah.
When Shelley eats the steak at lunch,
God.
That is the slurpiest, most disgusting.
And that's my file on you, Senator.
I ordered you the porterhouse.
That's my file.
And again, that's where she says, no, I'll have the penny.
I'll have the penny.
Nobody wants a woman's finger on the button who's not getting laid.
That's right.
Well, will that be what your argument in front of the committee? Shelley. They what call if, me Honest Shell.
What about when Shelley's wife sits down on the front porch and says, tomorrow morning when he gets you on the stand, you ask him as if his wife had an abortion.
20 years ago.
Shelley doesn't even know it.
That's why they call me Honest Shell. That's my file on you, Senator.
And as great as Gary Oldman is in that movie, he's the same retarded guy in that Bruce Willis movie where he like goes to Mars. What is the Bruce Willis movie where he drives a cab on Mars?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It's the one with the
Fifth Element.
Oh, right. Fifth Element.
He's the bad guy with the worst worst makeup ever in a movie of the
And
Fifth
he's
Element.
Count Dracula too.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman, an underrated actor in my opinion.
Goddamn, he's good in The Contender. Mm-hmm.
What's my file on you? I want midgets. You're absolutely right. That was completely inappropriate.
What's he say? I'm a husband first.
Right, I'm a husband first.
I'm a husband first.
They got the alleged slut. Hey, wait a minute. It's just a great movie. It's just fantastic.
I got pictures.
And I hope there are people out there that can enjoy this because they've seen the movie 1,000 times like we have.
Photos! You know, the great thing about being insulated without telephones, Mike, is that, well, we just don't know.
We really won't know if we're going overboard about this movie, The Contender.
Doesn't matter.
But you know what? I'd left my little movie box that I had all my little DVDs
right?
in, and I'd left it down there for a year. And I find, because I misplaced it. And I got down to Florida, and I found this thing, and I opened it, and they were all there. You know what I had in there? I mean, I've gone through DVDs when there's nothing on television, and with the writer's strike, there's not a lot on television now. And you go, and you're looking, and I'm like, God, what? There's nothing. I buy DVDs all the time. Well, I opened this up, and I got The Contender. I got Full Metal Jacket. I got American Beauty. They're all in there in one little book.
There you go.
And cool. The Contender was the winner. The Contender was – there wasn't any hesitation whatsoever.
Bill Peterson,
mm-hmm.
Billy Peterson.
Who doesn't want a shortcut to greatness?
Was that before CSI?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And remember his wife getting so mad at him? And when William Peterson says to her, he says the limo driver just gives him the hit the road.
Yeah.
When his wife's out there yelling at him, going, we've only got one shot at this.
And she's got two of the great looks. When he gets, when he finally gets busted on the fact that he made the girl take the drive off the bridge. You get her with the door closing on her as they go into the meeting, and then the door opens up, and it's a very similar look both times.
Hey, it's been a long time since I've seen that movie, but is that FBI agent hot as balls?
Oh, she's super hot, and hasn't she been
the one
in
with the lifesavers when she's talking to William Peterson?
The Bellagio. Yes, the Bellagio. She pulls her little notebook away when she's interviewing the other lady.
Damn, she's hot.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't need anything. You're your girl.
And then she says, when he's getting on the helicopter, this might be totally inappropriate.
That's what I just said when he said it.
But I just want to say that Lane is doing a lot for all women, and I would hate for this to ruin her career.
You're absolutely right. That was completely inappropriate. Robertson! Boom, the door shuts.
I even remember the guy he says to. That's the pilot. Robertson! Boom! And the helicopter takes off. Have you seen that movie?
I have, not recently.
God, that's a great movie.
Love it.
Who is that actor, the guy that we're talking about?
That's Sam Elliott.
Yes. I saw him recently.
Sam Elliott with the greatest narration voice, greatest commercial voice in TV now.
I saw him on the Charlie Rose show over our break where he had a ponytail like Willie Nelson
right. Yeah.
That might have gone all the way to his ass.
Yeah, he's Mr. Cowboy. I think he's like 70 years old, too.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, he's way up there. He's been doing – he's in Tombstone, too.
He's cool, right?
He plays Virgil Earp in the movie Tombstone.
He narrates The Big Lebowski.
He's the voice of Beef.
You know, Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Oh, and he's in The Big Lebowski, too, mm-hmm. in the bar there.
Yeah, he's the cowboy.
He's the good-looking guy in Mask. He's not the boy.
Oh.
He's Cher's boyfriend.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Cher bones him, or vice versa.
He bones Cher. And, you know, in that particular time in Cher's career,
no, Mike.
Who didn't want to bone Cher?
No.
When does that tide turn? At Silkwood?
You know what? Yes, because
Cher and Moonstruck? I'll bone Cher and Moonstruck.
Yeah. I wanted to bone Cher, Sonny and Cher.
Oh, I absolutely.
Of course. TV show Cher.
Bone Bono.
Not the movie Cher, though.
Oh, no. You didn't? Even in Moonstruck?
No, but you know, when she danced on that boat, she had that video with all those guys sailors on the boat.
Yeah.
Wanted to bone her then.
I wanted to bone her during the Richie Sambora era. Richie Sambora, who's boned a lot of chicks.
Not when she's selling her her patented cream on television.
No, don't care for
that.
That's
a non-bonable Cher?
No.
I would be curious to see Cher naked now.
With Sam Elliott?
Well, sure. Curious.
I'd be curious. I think that Cher has potential. How old is Cher now?
You got to be, what, 60?
Oh, I think at past least. That.
Would she be 60?
Yeah.
I'd say mid-60.
I think she'd look like a fair, faded Slim Jim. With curly hair.
You think she shaves?
I don't think she has.
Has it all fallen out?
There's no need anymore.
Well, it's not like she's Grace Slick.
No.
But then who is?
Grace Slick is getting better.
You know that you can really like line them up now. And
that's like saying vomit is getting better.
Hey, but it's true. If you have to make a chart.
You can add up older rockers now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all getting long in the tooth.
Yes.
But is Cher a rocker or a performer?
No, she's not. She's a pop star.
Right.
You better sit down,
Fields.
You love that song.
Do you believe in love and love?
Papa would have shot him if he knew what he had done.
That's that, and she's hot back then when she was singing those songs.
Mm-hmm.
And Luther Mona Down.
Of course, I like Cher post Nose Job, and then right after Moonstruck. That's the ideal.
Moonstruck
Cher.
Is well. Also, remember she's not that good at the beginning, but she gets herself all fixed up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's when you want a boner.
You give me Sonny and Cher, and not Sonny and Cher where they were wearing caveman outfits.
No, like the
Sonny,
vamp.
After she had the Nose Job.
She was a.
V-A-M-P.
She was a scamp, a tramp, a bit of a vamp. She was a V-A-M-P.
Vamp.
God, did those sketches suck.
They yes. did.
God, they were awful.
Bad TV.
It was the only thing that was on, though, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So everyone looked at it.
Just like American Gladiators.
She'd be a good gladiator.
Not anymore. He'd sit there and hit her with one of those Nerf balls.
Fragile.
Break her right in two.
Snap.
Cut her in half.
I'd watch her in the porno, Gladiator.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's when they're all wearing their Roman Centurion outfits.
But wacky Centurions, like back on the Sonny and Cher show.
And I mean wacky.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Where has the time gone?
I don't know. We're having fun.
Clock gets away from us when we talk about Bone and Cher.
I want to come back and talk about my arrest.
Okay, I do too, Michael. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.